Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Psalm 43:3. If you wish to weed the garden, Mary, would you go to work at night?
No, Mama, because I cannot see the weeds.
Can you see any weeds in your heart?
I do not think that weeds grow there.
Do not annoying and impatient thoughts sometimes sting you like nettles when you are told to do anything that you do not like to do? For instance, when you have done your math wrong and have to do it over again?
I do not feel very comfortable just then.
And do you never feel as if you were pricked with thorns or briars when you see any of your young companions more noticed than you are?
I feel something like it.
Are these feelings like pretty flowers, or are they like ugly weeds?
They are like very ugly weeds, Mama.
Do you see how ugly they are while they are pricking and stinging you?
No, Mama, for if I did, I would soon pull them up, because they are so ugly. I wonder why I do not see how ugly they are while they are giving me so much pain.
Did you not tell me that you could not see the weeds in the garden at night?
But, Mama, is night in my heart?
When you are giving way to evil tempers and envious feelings, you do the same thing to your mind that I would do to this room if I were to close the shutters. If I were to do so, would I not prevent the sun from shining into the room and giving me light?
But, Mama, you puzzle me. You talk about light and darkness as if I had both inside of me, and as if it were sometimes day and sometimes night in my heart. I can see day and night with my eyes, but how can I see what passes in my heart?
You don't see what passes in your heart in the same way as you see the difference between night and day, but still you can as easily distinguish right from wrong in your heart as light from darkness in this room. You see that you're doing wrong, do you not, when you are impatient, annoyed, and envious?
Yes, Mama.
And you see that you are doing right when you endeavor to keep down these evil tempers and do not allow them to appear?
Yes, Mama, I can see this very clear now. So now, I suppose it is daylight in my heart, is it not?
Yes. Now the true light is permitted to shine. You are quiet and humble and willing to be instructed, and there are no shutters of evil tempers put up to darken your heart.
Mama, what do you mean by the true light being permitted to shine? What is this true light?
Look at the first chapter of the Gospel of John and the 9th verse and read it to me.
That was the true light which enlightens every man that comes into the world.
This was spoken of Jesus Christ, my child. And now turn to the 12th chapter and read at the 46th verse what he himself says about it.
I have come as a light unto the world, that whoever believes on me shall not abide in darkness.
Now turn to the 3rd chapter and read the 19th and 2 following verses.
And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God.
From these texts of Scripture, you learn several important things. And first, you learn that there is a true light enlightening the heart of every person in the world, and that this true light is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Next, you are told that those who believe in this light do not abide in darkness.
Do these never have any darkness in their hearts, Mama?
When the darkness comes, they do not abide in it. That is, when evil tempers come, like a dark cloud over their hearts, they run away from them. They get into shelter as fast as they can. They do not abide in the darkness any more than you would stay in the garden during a thunderstorm.
What shelter do they get into, Mama?
They shelter themselves in the light which they believe in. That is, they keep close to its directions. And whenever dark and cloudy tempers arise, the light always directs them to be quiet and still, and neither say nor do anything till they feel calm and composed. Have you never gotten into trouble by showing that you were in a fit of emotion?
Yes, Mama. I remember once when I was ordered to do some work, when I wanted to be at play. I was so angry that I twitched my thread till I broke it, and you sent me out of the room.
You can see now that you were wrong in giving way to this dark and violent temper, and that, if you had been patient and obedient to your instructors, you would have escaped pain and disgrace, and would not only have been much happier, but also a much better child.
Oh yes, Mama, I see that very plain.
You have something in you, then, which shows you what is good. It makes good manifest to you. Now the scripture says, "Whatsoever makes manifest is light," Ephesians 5:13. Therefore, this something, which shows you what is good, is light. It is the light of God's good spirit shining in your heart, and showing you that you ought to obey your instructors. It shows you also that it is wrong to allow yourself to get into a fit of emotion. Therefore, you are not to put yourself in that state. For if you do, you turn away from the light and go into very great darkness. But persons who will not control their evil tempers do not turn to this light, as you are told in one of the texts you read to me, "He that does evil hates the light." That is, he hates to see that he is in the wrong. But he that does truth, that is, the person that truly fears to offend the Lord, and in all things tries to please him, such a one comes to the light. He comes to quietness, patience, meekness, and prayer, all of which the light teaches him to love. And so he says very often to the Lord, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me." Dialogue 2. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Psalm 119:37. When you were wishing last night that you were old enough to sit up after supper, Mary, I did not say anything in reply because it was too late to enter into conversation then. But now I would like to hear if that is the only thing for which you wish to be older.
Oh, no, Mama. There are a great many other things for which I wish to be older. I would like to be as old as you are, that I might do as you do.
You would like, I suppose, to dress like me?
Yes, I think I would.
And to order the dinner, and direct the servants what to do?
Oh, yes, Mama, I would like that very much indeed. I often play at ordering the dinner.
I suppose you then try to pretend that you are me, and that you are doing as I do?
Yes, Mama. It is so pleasant to think that I am you.
Well, my dear, I would be sorry to disturb you at your play, because it's necessary at your age that you should be amused. But nevertheless, I must tell you that this desire of being older than you are, and of pretending to be some other person, other than the little girl you are, is a wrong feeling to encourage.
Oh, Mama, how can it be wrong to wish to be as old as you are? Because if I were as old as you, I would know as much as you. And then you would not have to take the trouble of teaching me.
But I do not recollect your wishing to be older in order that you might be wiser than you are at present. I think it was that you might dress like me and direct the servants. And in short, that you might be more important than you are now. You do not like being looked over as a child.
I do not think I want to be important, Mama. I do not think I care about being thought a child.
You may not be aware of it, my dear, but that is the chief desire of your heart in wishing to be older, and that is the feeling which it is wrong to encourage. Little girls and boys are very apt to be extremely vain and ambitious.
What does it mean to be ambitious, Mama?
To be ambitious is to be anxious for notice. Did you ever see any children fond of being noticed?
Oh, yes, Mama. Mary Ann Duff is ready to cry when she comes into the room, and nobody notices her. Isn't that silly? I'm sure I would not care about it.
Well, she is a very pretty little girl, and I dare say has been too much used to being noticed. But now you look rather serious, dear child. Are you tired of talking with me?
Oh, no, Mama. I'm not tired. But I am so surprised to hear you say that Mary Ann Duff is pretty.
Do you not think, dear Mary, if, instead of saying, "I am so surprised, Mama, that you think Mary Ann Duff pretty," you were to say, "I am so agitated or angry," you would speak the truth? Come, think a little. Is it not so?
But you would laugh at me if I were to say so.
Why do you think I would laugh?
Because it would be so silly to be angry about that.
You would feel quite ashamed if anybody were to suppose you were angry because Mary Ann Duff was praised, would you not?
Oh, yes, Mama, indeed I would.
Then, my dear, you see what a shameful thing it is to be anxious for notice?
But, Mama, am I anxious for notice?
Yes, dear child, quite as much so as Marianne Duff, or you would not have been agitated to hear her praised. Now you catch a glimpse of the darkness that is in your heart, and also of the true light that shows the darkness and leads to the right way out of it.
I do not understand you, Mama.
Well, I will try and explain it, but I must first ask you a question, which I hope you will answer truly, because all I have to say depends upon that.
Oh, Mama, I'm sure then I will answer truly. Please ask me.
Were you not then agitated, very much agitated, when I said Marianne Duff was a very pretty little girl?
Well, Mama, yes, I think I was very much agitated, but do not laugh at me.
You need not fear that, my child. If I did not know of a remedy for your agitation, I should weep bitterly rather than laugh at it. But, happily for you, there is something very near you which can take away that evil, foolish feeling which agitates you.
What could it be that agitates me, Mama?
Envy is the name of that bad feeling. It is a dark, ugly weed that is very apt to grow fast if it is not plucked up as soon as we see it.
But can we always see where it grows?
We would, if we would but pay attention to that which shows it to us.
But what is that, Mama?
The true light, which I spoke to you about yesterday. This is the good thing which shows you that it is so shameful to be agitated because you hear another person praised, and that you have cause to fear that everybody who knew of your envy would despise you for it. It is this true light that makes you conscious that you deserve to be laughed at. That is, it makes you feel how petty and despicable it is to grudge that another should be thought well of.
But, Mama, how does it show the way to get rid of this ugly feeling?
Is it not enough that it tells you that there is a bad feeling present in your heart? Suppose, while I am walking this evening past my neighbor Mrs. Smith's house, I were to see a thief getting in at one of the windows, and I were to go and tell her there was a thief in her house. Do you think she would say, "Never mind, I do not care whether he robs me or not"?
No, Mama, I think she would be very grateful to you, and would do everything she could to catch the thief.
Well, what does this good feeling that makes you ashamed of being envious, so ashamed that you cannot speak of for fear of being laughed at, what does it do for you but tell you that there is a thief in your heart, a bad, wicked feeling that will rob you of everything that is kind and good if you do not drive it out? Indeed, it will rob you of all love for your little friends. For how can you love Marianne Duff if you are angry to hear her praised?
Oh, but Mama, to be praised for being pretty. I have often heard you say it is such a poor thing to be praised for being pretty, or being smart, or anything of that kind.
So I think it is. Indeed, it seems to me such a poor thing, Mary, that I wonder how you can be angry to hear any little girl praised for her beauty.
Oh, Mama, you do turn me so inside out.
That is just what I want to do, my dear. I want you to see the inside of your heart.
It seems a very ugly one, I think.
Indeed it is. We are told in Scripture that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now you see how deceitful yours is, in that it led you to think you did not want to be important and that you were not anxious for notice, and in short, that you were quite free from vanity. Whereas, you now find that vanity is at the root of all these evil feelings that we have been talking about. For if you had no vanity, you would not want to be noticed, and if you did not want to be noticed yourself, you would not grudge to have Marianne Duff or anyone else noticed. And if you had no vanity, you would not, in your play, pretend to be a person of importance and like to think you are ordering the dinner and directing the servants, and so on.
But, Mama, why is that wrong?
We will talk more upon that subject tomorrow. We have spoken long enough about it now. I would only add a few words respecting the true light, which shows the dark, bad feeling.
If you please, Mama, for I do not quite understand how it sends the bad feeling away.
Well, suppose when I tell Mrs. Smith that the thief is in her house, she were to say, "What shall I do to get rid of him?" And I were to reply, "You are not able to drive him out yourself, but I know a kind, good friend who is strong enough to drive out a whole gang of thieves." What do you think she would do?
She would beg of you to bring that friend to her help. Or she would go and ask him herself to help her.
And how would she ask him? Would it be in a cold, careless, indifferent sort of way? Or would it be in a very earnest manner?
Oh, very earnest. She must really wish to be helped in order to get rid of the thief, you know.
Well, my dear child, when this thief, vanity, is in your heart, robbing you of kind and amiable feelings, and filling you with very bad ones, and thereby bringing a dark thundercloud over you, mind what the true light shows you, and you will find it shows you this. First, that the wicked thief has gotten into your heart. Next, that you must be quiet and still and wait to see what is the best way of getting rid of him. Thirdly, that you can do nothing of yourself towards driving him out. And lastly, that the good, loving, tender spirit of your Father who is in heaven is the only conqueror of this thief. And he conquers him in this way, by driving him out of your heart and coming in there himself.
Oh, Mama, how sweet that must be. To have a good spirit in my heart instead of a bad, dark, evil one? But will he come by himself?
No, you must ask for him. Just as when Mrs. Smith wants the good friend's assistance to drive out the thief, she must ask for it. And this asking for the spirit is called prayer, and you are promised in Scripture that you shall not ask for it in vain. Turn to the 11th chapter of Luke, verse 13, and read it to me.
If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
Then, dear child, you have only to ask for the help of this blessed Spirit to drive all evil out of your heart, and this good Spirit will teach you how to pray for what you need, because it will make you feel and see what it is that you most stand in need of, and will often make you say, "Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity." Dialogue 3. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51:10.
Will you tell me today, Mama, why is it wrong for me to play at ordering the dinner and pretending to be you?
Yes, dear child, but in the first place, I would ask you a few questions on the subject. How is it that every now and then, while you are playing at this sort of make-believe, you turn round to see if I'm watching you? And if you think I am, you look silly and ashamed. Why is this? You do not get embarrassed and attempt to laugh when you catch my eye while you are playing with your puzzles or putting your maps together.
Because I do not mind your looking at me then, Mama.
But you do mind my watching you at the other?
Yes, I do not like it.
Why do you not like it?
Because I'm afraid that you'll laugh at me.
Why would I laugh at you, dear?
You would think it so silly.
But do I think it silly when you are playing ball, or running with your hoop around the garden, or skipping rope, or when you are engaged in many other games that I could name?
Oh no, Mama. Those are not silly things.
But it is silly, you think, to pretend to be me, or anybody else but yourself?
I do not know that I ever thought about that.
But you are sure that you do not like me to see you when you're pretending to be me?
Oh, yes, Mama. I'm quite sure I do not like that.
Well, my dear, I think that you may take it as a sign that there is something wrong with such a form of play if you dislike to be caught at it.
What is it, Mama, that makes me dislike to be caught at it?
It is the good feeling that I want you to observe and to pay attention to. It is, in short, the true light that shows you something of the foolishness in such a form of play. And foolishness, even in a child, is a thing that must be kept under as much as possible. You do not like to be foolish, do you?
Oh no, Mama. It is because people think children are foolish that I want to be like a woman.
I do not think children are foolish because they are children, but because they have a foolish nature.
Did you have a foolish nature, Mama, when you were a little girl?
Yes, my dear, and I have got the same nature now. Only the good spirit, the true light, shows me when that nature troubles me, and then I turn away from it as quickly as I can.
But, Mama, you never play at make-believe and pretend to be somebody else.
The foolish nature does not act in that way with me now, because I'm too old to play as you do. but it would fill my head with many vain and idle notions about myself if I would let it.
Has everybody got that foolish nature, Mama?
Yes, and it is that which makes them act so foolishly. Little girls that have no watchful mother or teachers to warn them of the danger of it, as I am doing now to you, are without any sense of their real state. They pretend to be somebody important till they really think they are so, and so they grow up to be vain, conceited girls, wondering why everybody does not admire them as much as they admire themselves.
I think, Mama, I will never play at make-believe anymore. It certainly is a very foolish thing.
It is not the playing at it, dear child, that you must first give up, but rather that which causes you to play in this manner.
What is that, Mama?
The vain mind, my dear, the foolish nature, the evil part, the dark, ugly weeds, which we have said so much about, these are what must be taken out of your heart. Now, the true light always shows you when and where they spring up, and makes you feel ashamed of them. Pay very close attention to feelings of shame, for they generally come from the good spirit. Do you know what I mean when I tell you to pay attention to feelings of shame?
I think I do, Mama. You would have me give up anything I was about to do if I felt that I would be ashamed anybody might see me doing it.
Yes, that was my meaning. For instance, if I were to come into the room and find you opening my drawers, or looking into my papers, or taking any cakes or candies off the table, would you not feel ashamed?
Oh yes, Mama. Very much ashamed.
Why would you be ashamed?
Because you would think me so sneaky.
You would not like to be thought of as sneaky, I suppose.
Oh no, I cannot bear it.
Why would you dislike so much to be thought of as sneaky?
Because it is such a disgraceful thing.
But suppose you were quite sure I was out of the house, and there was no danger of your being seen by anyone, and you then felt a wish to look into my drawers, or read my papers, or take a cake, or anything of that sort, would you think it a disgraceful thing to do?
I do not think I would be so much ashamed, Mama, if I was quite sure I would not be seen.
There is no shame, then, in prying into other people's concerns, or taking what does not belong to you, if you are not seen doing it? Is that what you mean to say?
Oh no, Mama. Those are very wrong things to do, whether anyone sees me to do them or not.
Then should you not be as much ashamed to do them when you were alone as you would be if anybody saw you?
Yes, I think I ought to be.
Do you think you are ever alone?
Oh yes, Mama, I know I am, very often.
I do not mean alone as to having nobody with you that your eyes can see. But I mean, is there ever a moment of life in which someone, and that a very great one, is not beholding you? If you think there is, you are greatly mistaken. Turn to the 139th Psalm and read me the first 4 verses.
O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether.
Thus you see, my child, that you are never alone. And if you would be ashamed that I, or any of your fellow creatures, would find you doing any sneaky, disgraceful, or foolish thing, how much more cause have you to shrink from being found guilty of disgrace and folly and deceit in the sight of a pure and holy God? It is His divine and good spirit in your heart that makes you sensible of what is corrupt and unworthy. Therefore, always attend to it with reverence and humility. And when you are tempted to do anything wrong, do not ask yourself whether you should be ashamed if I should find you doing it, but ask yourself, am I ashamed that God should see me do this? And as the cause of all evil is in the heart, and all vain and sinful thoughts rise up there, let this short and good prayer be often in your mind. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Dialogue 4. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Proverbs 20:11. When you were reading to me this morning, Mary, you remember I told you to stop. And when you asked me why I wished you to do so before your lesson was finished, I said I would tell you the reason another time. Do you wish to hear it?
If you please, Mama.
No, it is as you please. If you think it would be painful to you to hear the reason, I will not compel you to hear it.
I think, Mama, it was because you were a little displeased with me that you told me to stop reading.
Are you conscious, then, that you were doing anything to displease me while you were reading your lesson? Come, I see there is a little consciousness of something wrong. You are aware, are you not, that you are pretending not to know the meaning of this and the other word when I asked it of you, and that I saw through this pretense? Is this not the case?
Well, Mama, I think I did know the meaning of one or two of the words I pretended not to know. But I wanted you to have a nice long talk with me, and I could not get you to do what I wished.
And so you took this crooked way of bringing it about? Well, my dear, another time, when you wish for anything, ask in a plain, open manner whether it can be granted, and do not let the dark, subtle spirit put you upon this sort of contrivance to accomplish it. But I think, Mary, if you will try to recollect, you and I have more than once had some talk upon this subject. It is not the first time by many that I have had occasion to warn you of this disposition to pretend something or another that is not true. For instance, sometimes you pretend...
Oh, dear Mama, please do not say that ugly word, pretend.
Is not the thing a great deal uglier than the word?
Oh, yes, but then I do not see its ugliness till you tell me of it.
But you would see it, my dear child, if you were attentive to the true light within you, which is that feeling of goodness which makes the very idea of pretense shameful to you.
How do you know I'm pretending, Mama, when I do not know it myself?
You know it when I point it out to you.
Yes, but what makes you able to point it out to me?
A deep acquaintance with my own heart, which is naturally as evil as yours, and a reverent attention to the good spirit who makes me able to distinguish between truth and falsehood.
Oh, Mama, what a great and fearful thing that good spirit is. I feel afraid when I think how near it is to me.
Do you wish it was at a greater distance from you?
I think sometimes I do wish it, a little.
You would like better that it would not disturb you in your pretenses and make-believe. You do not wish to see the evil that is in your heart, is that the case?
I do not know, Mama. I like to see it, and yet I do not like to see it.
The fact is this, my dear, you have two natures in you, the one good and the other evil, and these are contrary the one to the other. But the evil nature, being as yet so much the stronger of the two, it gets above the other, and is every now and then perking up its ugly face and performing all these ridiculous antics, and it would be well if they were nothing more than ridiculous. However, they are as sinful as they are silly, and that makes me so eager to point out to you the necessity of watching against them.
Thank you, dear Mama. I like to hear you point out these things to me, for sometimes I am not aware of them till you show them to me.
No, my dear, I dare say you are not.
Yet, Mama, I wonder why I am not, since that good light you speak of is in me to show the evil.
But if you are not well acquainted with that good light and its way of teaching, and above all things, if you are not very obedient when it shows you what is wrong, you will never understand your own nature, and will be apt to fancy that all is well with you, when indeed it is very wrong. It is because poor sinners are so ignorant of the power and use of the true light that shines in their dark hearts that they often get to such a height of insensibility as not to know that they have such a thing at all. As that holy man Job said of such persons, "There are those who rebel against the light. They do not know its ways, nor abide in its paths." That's from Job, chapter 24, verse 13.
While you are talking to me about this true light, Mama, I feel such a love for it that it seems as if I should never do anything which it shows me to be wrong. But then, in a little while, I forget it and fall into something that I am sorry for. How does this happen?
Partly from the carelessness of your early age, which prevents you from watching over your thoughts and wishes, and partly from the hatred of the bad part of your nature against the good. a hatred which keeps you from praying earnestly to God to increase his light in you by giving you more and more of his Holy Spirit.
Oh, Mama, I do wish to have this true light increase. I do wish to be good. I'm always sorry and ashamed when I see the ugly weeds in my heart. What can make them come up when I dislike them so much?
The love of self, my dear. The desire to bring self into notice. For instance, I was rather serious today and not inclined for conversation, and you had made several attempts to engage my attention, and you could not draw me out. So, in order to make me observe you, you fell upon the design of pretending not to know the meaning of this and that other word, and now and then not being able to find the place where you left off in your reading, and so on, only for the sake of bringing self into notice, until seeing what you were about and who it was that was governing you, I desired you to stop, and said I would tell you the reason for it another time.
Well, Mama, I realized what the reason was, even before you told me. But what do you mean when you say that was governing me?
I mean the evil spirit, who is the enemy of all good, and whom you read of in Scripture as that wicked one who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He that is called Satan or the devil, he was leading you into foolishness and sin.
Is he so near me too, Mama?
He is very near, and always watching to puff you up with vain thoughts about yourself, and making you anxious to be noticed and unhappy when you are not noticed.
But Mama, why is it so dangerous to love ourselves? For there is nobody so near to us to love.
It is dangerous for many more reasons than I can give you now, as we have talked long enough for the present. But on one account, if there were no other, it is dangerous to love ourselves too much because it is contrary to the will of God and the example of our blessed Savior, who says, "If any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, we shall never deny ourselves so long as we are filled with self-love.
I do not think I exactly know what is meant by denying ourselves, Mama.
Well, tomorrow, perhaps, we may talk a little more on that subject. Dialogue 5. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Matthew 16:22-23. You were wishing yesterday to know what was meant by denying ourselves, Mary. I think I can give you some idea of it by something that happened today.
If you please, Mama, though I cannot recollect anything particular happening today.
Do you not remember the postman bringing me a letter just as I was about to hear you read and say your lessons this morning?
Oh, yes, and I did so want you to open it.
Yes, you wanted me to open it, but why? What could it signify to you whether it was opened or not? It was not written to you.
Oh no, Mama, I know that.
But nevertheless, you felt a great curiosity to know what was in it and who it came from. Was this not the case?
Yes, Mama.
Well, if you felt a great desire to know what was in it, though you had nothing at all to do with it, do you not think I must have desired it a great deal more?
Oh yes, Mama. I wondered what could be the reason why you let it lie upon the table all the long time that I was reading and saying my lessons.
I was denying myself. I would have liked very much to have read it, but I had something else just then to attend to, and so I said to myself, "No, you must wait."
But, Mama, could you not have put that something else by until another time?
Certainly, I could have done so, but then I would have done wrong in several ways. In the first place, I would have disobeyed the light, which showed me that my duty then was to hear you read and say your lessons. It also showed me that by reading the letter, I would have been gratifying a very vain and wrong curiosity in you, which made you so anxious to have the letter opened that you could scarcely attend to your lessons, but kept eyeing first the letter and then me in hope that you could obtain some information about it. This willful curiosity in you, the light showed to me, and also showed me that I ought to deny and disappoint it.
Oh, Mama, you could see that I was wanting you to open up the letter? Well, I thought you never could see that. I thought I kept it to myself.
No, my dear. Happily for little folks of your age, it is not very difficult to know what they are wanting. But to go on with what I was saying, this conduct which you saw in me this morning enables you to understand something of what is meant by denying ourselves.
Yes, Mama, I understand what is meant by denying ourselves, but I do not quite see why we should do it.
Suppose I took you with me into a baker's shop, and you were to ask me to let you have cookies and cakes and pies and anything that you desired. Do you think I should indulge you?
No, Mama, I know you would not.
Why should I deny you these things?
Because they would be bad for me.
But I suppose you would like some of them very much if you might have them?
Yes, I think I would.
And yet you are quite satisfied to go without them and to think that I know best what is good for you?
Oh, yes, Mama.
Well then, my dear child, if you can trust your earthly parent in directing you for the best, how much more should you obey the commands of your heavenly Father? And when he requires you to deny yourself, how much more should you submit to him without questioning why, but though it may be difficult for you, at your age, to understand the full purpose of the command to take up your cross and deny yourself? Yet you must surely have learned enough from these conversations we've had to see what a vain, silly, and selfish little creature you would be if you were never forced to control your own will, but might do as you liked upon all occasions.
But why is my will such a bad one, Mama, that it always needs to be controlled?
This is a question which would lead us into a longer discussion than would be desirable at this late hour. Tomorrow, if permitted, we will resume the subject. Only let me point out to you a striking passage in Scripture which plainly shows how repulsive to the blessed Jesus was any attempt to persuade him from suffering pain and denying himself. For we must always suffer some pain in denying ourselves. You remember that Peter was one of his favored disciples. He, with James and John, usually accompanied him when others were not so privileged. Yet, when Peter would have had him to avoid the sufferings that awaited him, saying to him, no doubt in that coaxing sort of way which our evil nature likes, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." The meek and lowly Jesus, with his holy indignation, spurned him away with this severe rebuke, "Get behind me, Satan." Not Peter, his friend and disciple, but Peter, then so strongly under the influence of a false feeling that he deserved and received the name of Satan. Dialogue 6. The ox knows his owner, and the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider. Isaiah 1:3. Now, Mary, I am ready to answer, as far as I am able, the question you asked last night, which, if I remember right, was an inquiry why your will is required to be controlled.
Yes, Mama. I wish to know why my will is so bad a one as always to need to be controlled.
This question, my dear, leads us into very solemn subjects, and therefore you must be very attentive and thoughtful and consider what you are going to say before you make any inquiries respecting it. All that I can tell you, or that you can learn about the cause of your will being a bad one, is found in the Bible. Do you remember reading there that God made man in his own image?
Yes, Mama, and commanded him not to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge. For in the day that he ate thereof, he should surely die.
Yes, and he did then die a very dreadful death.
Dear Mama, I thought he lived several hundred years and had two sons, and—
Be still, and let me explain what sort of death Adam died when he disobeyed the Lord. It was not the death of the body, but a far worse death. His soul, which was created in the image of God, that beautiful image, that was the part of him that died. And so it is that all Adam's children have nothing of the image of God in them now, but instead of it, the only image that is before their thoughts continually is their own.
Please, Mama, will you tell me what an image means? For I do not think I exactly understand you.
Go and look in the mirror and tell me what you see.
I see myself.
How so? You cannot possibly see yourself, for you are standing before a mirror and looking away from yourself.
Then what I see, Mama, is, I suppose, an image of myself?
Exactly so. It represents you to yourself. It is your image, and you can very well understand the nature of this image and have great satisfaction, too much, alas, in gazing upon it. You are scarcely ever weary of looking how its hair curls and how its...
Oh, Mama, I know this is very foolish. Please talk of something else. I know what an image is.
You know what a human image is, dear child, which is the image you bear. But I have no words capable of expressing to you what that image was which Adam bore before he disobeyed God and lost it. It is sufficient to say that it was the image of God, all glorious, all beautiful, all majestic, all divine, so that he might be permitted, or rather, he was created on purpose to delight in it. For when he delighted in this image, he delighted in God, whom it resembled. If we were not fallen and sinful creatures, we would have no delight in anything but God. His will would be our will, and we would not know what it was to think about ourselves or care about ourselves. But now we think and care about nothing else. Our will is all for self. It says continually, what can I get? Give me something. Let me be taken care of.
Oh, Mama, I do not think I'm saying that always.
Not with your lips, my dear, but think a little, and I believe you will find that self is the uppermost thing in your mind for the greater part of the day. And it will be very troublesome to you and everybody else if it were not kept under by the care and instruction of others, and in some measure, I hope, by your own endeavors to resist it. Still, with all the teaching you receive and all the restraint which is put upon it, your will still finds it very hard to think upon God, and even harder to take any delight in him. Is this not the case?
I would be very wicked if I said no, for I am afraid what you say is true.
Do not be afraid of speaking the truth, dear child. It is necessary that you should quite understand the great corruption of your heart, or you will not be earnest in seeking its remedy.
Then there is a remedy, Mama? Oh, I am glad of that. Please explain it to me.
As soon as Adam lost his beautiful and godlike life, it pleased his good Creator to make him a promise that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head, which was as if God had said to him, I will send you a friend that shall deliver you from this evil, serpent-like nature that you have brought upon yourself by disobeying my commands. This great deliverer was not to come into the world for several hundreds of years after that, but a measure of his blessed spirit was given then to Adam as his help and deliverance from that evil nature which he had got by indulging his own will and eating the forbidden fruit.
Oh, Mama, what a terrible punishment for such a little thing as eating some fruit.
It was not the mere act that made the greatness of his sin. It was the ungrateful, rebellious selfishness which it expressed that caused him to be so severely punished. Suppose I were 10,000 times more kind and loving to you than I am, yet my love would be nothing compared to the love that God bore to Adam. But suppose that I were to give you permission to enjoy yourself and play in the garden, and that I had provided everything I could think of for your pleasure, and that I was to say, you may eat what fruit you like, Mary, but do not eat of such a tree, because what you gather from that tree will poison you. And suppose you were to disregard what I had provided for your happiness and take of the poisoned tree, would you not show a very willful and selfish temper?
Yes, Mama, I think I would deserve to be punished.
But suppose it were possible for me not only to provide beautiful grounds for you to play in and pleasant fruit for you to eat, but also to fill your mind with such delightful thoughts as made you always good and always happy, and then some envious, wicked person came and persuaded you that you might be still happier and still better and still wiser if you were to eat of the forbidden tree. Would you not show a very covetous, greedy temper, as well as a very willful one, if you hearkened to him?
Yes, indeed I would. I ought to be satisfied with being good and happy, and not want more than was given to me.
Then, if you found, as soon as you had eaten of the poisoned fruit, that your beautiful, happy, and good thoughts were gone, and you had gotten a set of dark, covetous, greedy thoughts instead of them, do you not think you would have just what you deserved and what you had brought upon yourself?
Yes, Mama, I would have nobody to blame but myself, for I ought not to have listened to the wicked person that persuaded me to disobey you.
Then now you can understand why Adam's punishment was so great. And truly, he could not have had a greater consequence than to lose such a blessed, happy nature and get an evil one instead. But even in this unhappy condition, it pleased the goodness of God to come to his help and to give him back a little seed or measure of that blessed nature which he had lost. It was put into his heart, and it is put into everybody's heart to teach them what is good.
Then this is the true light and the good spirit which we have been talking about so much, I suppose, Mama?
Yes, dear child, this is the deliverer from evil and the guide into all good, who tells us when our will is bad and who calls upon us to deny it. If Adam had minded this teacher instead of the wicked serpent who was the devil, he would have escaped all the misery he brought upon himself and upon us also. For, in consequence of his disobedience, we are all sinners, being born in his image instead of the image of God.
But, Mama, you said that this good deliverer came into the world several hundred years after Adam sinned.
Yes, this great deliverer was the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called in Scripture the second Adam, because he repairs all the damage that the first Adam has caused.
How does he do that, Mama?
By making the bad nature good again. He became a man like Adam and did as Adam ought to have done by perfectly obeying the will of God in all things. But this subject is at present beyond your comprehension. Therefore, we will only now speak of what I think you may be able to understand. Let me ask you a few questions respecting what we have been conversing upon. In whose image was Adam first created?
In the image of God, which was a beautiful and glorious image.
How did he lose this image?
By following his own will and disobeying God, by eating of the forbidden fruit.
He then got a life and nature and image of his own, instead of the life and nature and image of God. And was it a good nature that he had got?
No, a very bad one.
Have we the same bad nature?
Yes, we are born in Adam's image.
Can we ever hope to regain God's image which died in Adam?
Yes, there's a little seed of it given back to us to show what is good and to make us love it.
What is it called?
It is called light, the true light that enlightens every man that comes into the world.
Have you any of this light?
Yes, Mama.
Then remember, dear child, to obey it. And above all things, remember that it calls upon you to deny all the evil which you inherit from Adam.